I made you flip a lot this morning. You won't be flipping any tonight. You just go to Nehemiah chapter 6 and just sit right there for a little while. I was reading this week. It's just where I was in my course of reading through Scripture. I was reading Nehemiah, and I have read Nehemiah before. I know at Impact one year I taught something about Nehemiah. I don't remember what. That's been a long time ago. But I know I have read Nehemiah. I have taught about Nehemiah. And I came to this passage of Scripture, and then I saw something that I've never seen. And maybe it's just time for me to see this. But we face more distractions today than we've ever faced in history. We have more things coming at us than we've ever had coming at us before. We take in more images, more stuff than ever before. One year, I tried this. This is kind of a, I don't know, you couldn't do this with, you had to do this with the right group. I had a group of kids. They were all leaders. They were kind of go-getters. And so the video is a video about being still and quiet. And so they're going through, and he's talking, and he's telling all this stuff about this, and then the screen just goes black. And it stays that way for 5 minutes. And this company had more calls about this video not working than any video they'd ever made. Never had any complaints about a video until they made that one. And nobody could wait 5 minutes to see that something came after that. It was 5 minutes of just a plain black screen. And they got all kinds of complaints because they didn't wait the 5 minutes to find out what was happening next. We have so many distractions coming our way. Americans spend an average of 5.5 hours a day in digital media. More than half of that time is on mobile devices, according to research from eMarketer. In one recent survey, female students at Baylor University reported using their cell phones on an average of 10 hours a day. 10 hours a day. Their phones are checked 221 times a day, which is an average of every 4.3 minutes. The number actually may be low since people underestimate their mobile usage. Our transformation into device people has happened with unprecedented suddenness. The first touchscreen operated iPhones went on sale June 2007, followed by the first Android power phones the following year. Smartphones went from 10% of the market to 40% of the market, faster than any other consumer technology in history. Yet today, not carrying a smartphone indicates you're old. I'm reading this, all right? I'm reading this. This is from Christianity Today, all right? So don't get on to me. What does it mean to shift overnight from a society in which people walk down the street looking around at each other and talking to each other to one that we're clutching smartphones as if they were made, they made us safer, more productive, less bored, and more useful? At the same time, smartphone owners describe feeling frustrated and distracted. Nearly half of 18 to 29-year-olds say that they use their smartphones to avoid people around them. Distractions. We find ourselves in the midst of a world of distractions. Every time we turn around, there's something else trying to grab for our attention. There's the buzz of a phone or the beep of a phone, or to you can set it to where your face Twittergram is beeping every time somebody does anything, likes something or says something or responds to something, and immediately there's a vzz, oh, I got another one. There's just constant distractions, texts, emails coming through our devices, and we find ourselves in a world of distractedness. Sometimes I wish that we could kind of turn around and go back. Okay, so let me explain how far back. Now, you couldn't have done this with a cell phone. Some of you will, you'll get this. How do we check the weather now? We go to an app, right? So let me explain, because there's some people that don't understand this.
online banking and mobile banking services offer freedom to bank how and when you want. Enroll today. Today's date is Sunday, March 20th, Thomas County Federal Time, 6:25. The current temperature, 62. The Thomasville area weather, fair tonight, low near 38, sunny and cool tomorrow, high near 62. Thank you for calling.
Every day. It was part of our bedtime routine. 226-6101. If it was busy, 226-6102, 03, 04, 05, 6, 7, 8, or 9. You could call any of them. You're going to get the time when you needed to set, you know, this is crazy. But when you needed to set your clocks to the right time, what do? I called that number as a kid. That's how I found out. Now your cell phone is what we use for time. Watches have been replaced in large and really due to this right here. Because it tells me the time. It tells me the weather. It tells me all these things. Well, Nehemiah gets to a place where he has been burdened and he has gotten permission. He got all the permission. He set up all the how this wall is going to be rebuilt. He's going to build the wall and he's in the process of building it, and then distractions start coming his way. And he takes his cell phone and throws it in a lake. Okay, that's how I view it anyway. So here's just a couple of quotes before we read this. Nehemiah, we're going to be in chapter 6. If you're there, just hang out for a second. But we settle for good because we don't have burdens. We settle for good because we don't have burdens. Andy Stanley wrote a really good book about Nehemiah and just principles of leadership that come from Nehemiah. And the first thing he talks about is Nehemiah's, all of his decisions are made because he is burdened to build this wall. And what are we burdened to do? The Bible tells us there's a lot of things we should be doing. What are we burdened to do? Each one of us is going to be built just a little bit different. So what are the things that we're burdened to do? There was a little girl, and she was a little girl. She was 14 years old at the time. She was in Florida, and there was this new invention called the internet that had come along. And so kids had found out how to get things that they wanted that they weren't supposed to have by ordering them on the internet and having it shipped to their house. And she did not feel like these kids needed to have those. So at 14 years old, now remind, 14-year-old girl, okay, she said at 14, she went to this little camp, it was a leadership camp, she said, one day I'm going to stand on the floor at the United States House of Representatives and the Senate, and I am going to get this bill passed that they will not be able to ship these items to their house anymore. She was 18 years old when she stood right there, and she was there when the bill was signed, that they could not have certain things shipped to their house. And so she was burdened by this, and she was set to action because of a burden. And a lot of times when we look across Scripture, that's what we see. Nehemiah was burdened, and that burden set him into action. We get distracted a lot, and distractions are the enemy of greatness. I cannot find who said that. It's quoted. You can go look it up on the internet. You can find it. But who said that? I have no idea. Everybody's given reference to somebody else for having said that first. But we get distracted, and our distractions are the enemy of greatness. Nehemiah chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1 through verse 4. Okay, I'm going to butcher names. So here we go. When Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that no gap was left in it, though at the time I had not installed the doors and the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message, come, let's meet together in the villages of the Ono Valley, but they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing great work and cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent the same proposal, and I gave them the same reply. Our first distraction that keeps us from following and serving God is busyness. We get busy and we get distracted. And the number one distraction probably in most people's life today that have one is called a cell phone. It is the number one distraction. I was talking to a principal this past week, and she said, you know, I answer emails twice a day. That's when I answer my emails. Twice a day. I have a time that I sit down, and that's all I do is I just run through my emails. One of those times is at 4:30 in the morning because there's no distractions yet. I can get that done. I can check that off my list. And then she does it again at another time during the day, but there's two times. She said, otherwise, the whole day would be getting out of that phone and, let me send that. I got another one. Because that's all they would be doing, was be answering these little emails. And so, you know, we get busy. Four times they sent the same message. Four times the phone was four times. He said, no, I'm not going to be distracted by that. I am not going to come down to answer that because I've got a course that's been mapped out, and I'm on the course. I'm going to finish what I started. Sometimes I wish I was that diligent because, you know, the second time, and this is how we, this is confession time. So you call, and the first time, I see that you call, but there's no answer. Okay. The second time you call, I see that you call, and well, it must be important because you just called me twice. And so there's an answer. You just kind of stop whatever you're doing. Yesterday I was out over here spending 7 hours in blueberry bushes, and I got a phone call. I looked down. It's probably nothing. It was my mom. So then, like, right after that, she called again. So the second time, I've got gloves on, take the gloves off, pull the phone out. Hello? Is there something wrong? No, I just wanted to tell you something. Okay, well, I'm in the middle of, I'm in the middle of something here. And so I'll call you back later. But that's how I am. You call the second time, and I'm going to answer that one. You know, I look at this, Nehemiah is so diligent because he is driven by a desire that he has to see this wall being built. He's burdened by it. But that's the number one distraction in my life probably would be busyness, usually tied up around something silly. Second one, relationships. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 5. Sanballat sent me the same message a fifth time by his aide, who had an open letter in his hand, and it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem agrees, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. This is the reason you're building the wall. According to these reports, you are to become their king, and have even set up the prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim on your behalf, there is a king of Judah. These rumors will be heard by the king, so come and let's confer together." Then I replied to him, "There is nothing to these rumors that you are spreading. You are inventing them in your own mind." So here we have a relationship that steps in and plays a part. First, he's been sent the same message four times, but now he's going to send an aide, and it's more personal this time because it's a person coming to see you. It's not an email, it's not a text message, it's an actual person coming to see you with a message from somebody. So it's a little more personal. We've got a relationship that's involved. I think our second common distraction is relationships. And these things, relationships are great. They're a good thing. They're not a bad thing by any stretch of imagination. But a lot of times we'll get caught up because of who this person is. We'll step down off the wall and, let me go deal with that. I'm gonna go do that. And Nehemiah's burden has set him on a course that this is what he was going to do. He was going to build the wall. And nothing was going to distract him to build that wall. How many times am I in the middle of doing something? All right, let me explain. Monday, I set out to prepare for Sunday sermon. That was shot by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and nothing was done. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, didn't have anything done. Okay, so late Monday night, I'm going to sit down and do that. And I did. So I got a course, okay, a direction. I'm going in a direction, okay? tomorrow, I'm Tuesday, I wasn't going to do anything. Okay, Wednesday, I was dealing with Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I'm going to get there early, and I'm going to jump in there and get it done. Thursday morning comes around. I get a phone call, 7:45. Already, my path was set, and now it veered off to the right. I'm going somewhere else. I'm doing something else. All right, Thursday night comes around. I'm going to get it Thursday night. I sat down. I spent some time doing it. All right, Friday morning. All right, there's not many other days, right? This is, okay, it has to happen today. And so I got here and got it done Friday morning. But I set out Monday to get it done. Monday, I'm going to be diligent, man. I'm going to do this. I was excited about it because I was doing something ahead of time. And then it ends up Friday, and then it ends up, I kind of finished it Friday night. And so it was distractions. It wasn't important distractions. It was just distractions. But that one had to do with relationships with a friend of mine. So I think that's the second thing, though. We get our relationships start to distract us. The third thing that distracts us a lot is fear. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. And this is what I saw when I read this. First time I've ever seen what these guys were trying to do, but verse 9, it says, "For they were all trying to intimidate us, saying, they will become discouraged in their work, and it will never be finished. But now, my God, strengthen me." Verse 10. "I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was restricted to his house. He said, 'Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple. Let us shut the temple doors because they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you tonight.' But I said, 'Should a man like me run away? How can I enter the temple and live? I will not go.' I realized that God had not sent him because of the prophecy he spoke against me. Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired so that I would be intimidated, do as I suggested, sin, and get a bad reputation in order that they could discredit me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat for what they have done, and also Nadiah, the prophetess, and the other prophets who wanted to intimidate me." They wanted this. They were scaring him. This was a fear tactic. "I'm going to try my best to intimidate you." He said, "You know what? Not going to work." There is a acronym for fear, and you may have seen this acronym before: false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. And that's what's happening here. They're conjuring up some false evidence, trying to make it appear real to be able to scare him into doing what they wanted him to do. And Nehemiah is, again, not going to give into that. So that's the story. Here's what I'm learning from it, okay? This is what I'm learning from it. Years ago, I went to Franklin Covey Time Management, which I have failed miserably in actually trying to apply what I've learned. How many of you have gone through Franklin Covey? Anybody done Franklin Covey Time Management? One? Awesome. Have you failed as miserably as I have? I'm awful at it. But this is what I did learn. And this is going along with what we're reading right here. Nehemiah had priorities. And one of the things that Franklin Covey Time Management teaches that I'm finally starting to hopefully get around to doing and trying to apply what I've learned is to set up godly priorities. And so it works like this. When I was in college, I would have told you that my relationship with my parents was important to me. I would have told you that. But my actions would have said something completely different. Because I never called. Now, we didn't have cell phones. There was no text messaging. Okay, you bought these little phone cards that you went in your dorm room on your landline and you typed in your number and then you called. Okay, I know that's old. That was a long time ago. All right, so that's what it was like. And I never did that. Okay, almost never did it. But I would have told you that relationship was very important. But that would not have been what my actions would have said. And so Franklin Covey Time Management teaches this, basically you decide during your life, you decide the things that are important to you. Okay? For some of you, exercise is really important. If exercise is really important, then where should you be at least 3 times a week? At the Y, somewhere exercising, right? Okay, and so we'll say that something's important, but then it doesn't really get there when we get into what we're doing. And here's the reason that they've laid out with Franklin Covey time management is that we basically, the things that are important to us are always the last things on the list. We go through all the things that we've got to get done, and the last thing on the list, well, we'll get to it next week. Well, I can go to the gym tomorrow. Well, I'll make that phone call Friday. And things keep getting pushed back, and then they never happen. Okay? Date nights. Oh, it never happens. Right? That's something that has to be prioritized. There's a lot of things that don't happen, but we have good intentions. They just don't happen because we get distracted and we don't set up godly priorities. And that was the first thing. As I was reading through this and just saw how dedicated he was to make this task, he was not going to stop. I don't care what happens, he's not stopping. I don't know if he ate, I don't know if he drank, I don't know what he did during that time, but he wasn't stopping working. I've read stories of great artists and painters and Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel and working just days at a time before without sleeping, just day, not coming down. I'm going to finish this, not coming down. I'm going to finish this. They were burdened by the call that they had. How much more of a burden can you get than there are 15,000 people right here that don't know Christ that's 5 miles from here? And that's a huge, huge burden. But we've got to set up godly priorities, got to have our life look like what we think it should look like. Like the things that we say are important to us, set time to make those happen. This is coming from Franklin Covey. If time isn't scheduled, then it's given away. If time isn't scheduled, it's given away. Number one reason that people don't do quiet times is don't have time. When I first started doing baseball lessons a long time ago, I would ask, I was crazy then, I would ask people to give me 20 minutes a day doing a particular thing. I'm down to 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And I rarely get anybody that will give me 2 minutes a day to do something. When we talk about reading Scripture, we talk about quiet times. We just get busy. We do all these other things. It's because we've never prioritized that. We've never put that down. Don't put it down as a to-do. Put it down as an appointment. I got an appointment today with God. It's not on the to-do list, not on the things I'm trying to get done. It's an appointment that I'm going to go meet. We typically meet appointment times. The to-do list, it kind of shifts around here and there. But we meet appointments. We pretty good about that. Second thing, just trying to eliminate distractions. Learn to discern. In Nehemiah, in chapter 2, talks about they were scheming to harm him, and he was discerning that they were scheming to harm him. I was having this conversation just a little while ago. Somebody that discerning is not my strong suit. I'm not good at discerning. Rebecca is like, she'll know. Tell her a lie, oh, she already figured that out. I'm with you all the way to the end. I think it's true. And so, trying to discern what is the truth and things that we're dealing with. What should I continue to do? What shouldn't I continue to do? Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 8, I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying has ever happened. You're just making it up in your head. He was discerning. He realized they were trying to scare him into something, and he just wasn't going to go for it. The third thing, and this is the part that I see Nehemiah do that I need to do more of, and that is ask for help. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9 said, "But I prayed, strengthen my hands." He talks to God. He said, strengthen my hands. But now my God will strengthen me. He stops and prays that God will strengthen him to finish the task that he had set out to do. And if there's, just looking over this week, there's like one huge thing that I have taken away from this passage of scripture. And just looking back at Nehemiah's life, I read the whole thing. I had to read it like 3 times this week because I kept seeing something different, And this chapter just kept coming back to me that, you know, all the distractions that I have in my life, I've got to get back to prioritizing it so that it looks the way I wanted it to look. Because then the things that are important to me actually start happening. Then the things that I'm supposed to be doing actually happen. And, you know, I don't know that I have said any of this for you tonight, but I've said this so you can hold me accountable. How about that? There's a story, one of my favorite stories. It's in baseball. Yogi Berra, I don't know if you know who Yogi Berra is, but he was a great ball player. He's a catcher, and he was a yapper. Okay, Yogi Berra is known for just yapping. The whole time you're at the plate, he's just talking to you. You know, shoes untied, whatever, just the whole time. So Hank Aaron gets up to the plate. It's a big game. Hank Aaron comes up to the plate, and he's, you know, yapping. Shoes untied, you're whatever. So he told him that you're holding the bat the wrong way. You're supposed to hold the bat to where you can read Easton or whatever the make of the bat is. You're supposed to be able to read that. So Hank Aaron doesn't pay him any attention. He just goes on. He hits a ball about 450 feet out into the seats, and he comes around back to home, picks up his bat, and he said, Yogi, I wasn't here to read. I was here to hit. You know, just not getting distracted, just staying focused on what we have, what we're supposed to be doing, the task that we have at hand. You know, as a body of believers, we have a huge task. 15,000 people within a 5-mile radius don't know Christ. It's a huge task. We have huge tasks with people going through different situations at hospitals and bereavement type situations after somebody's passed away. That's a huge task. We have a lot of people that feel lonely, that need a friend. That's a huge task of a body of believers. And so just be encouraged as we walk through into this Holy Week that, you know, we have a huge task to do. And it really does start with us prioritizing things, getting right with God, allowing His Word to be our guide, and then walking from there into whatever He leads us to do by the Holy Spirit, which we talked about tonight in the discipleship class that met in here, and allowing Him to lead us and guide us. Okay? Let's pray. God, I thank You for Nehemiah, for all the things that You've shown me this week, just reading that over and over again. God, I do pray that You'd help me to be less distracted, to prioritize, just to do the things that I know I'm supposed to do, so that my week goes and is just, it goes the way that You desire for it to go. It goes to the things that, so that the things that I say are important to me are actually happening in my life. I pray that that, you know, this wasn't just for me tonight, but that there's somebody here that needed to hear that, that needs to go in that same direction. That, you know, I think this is definitely biblical and definitely just what we see in the life of Nehemiah. And I pray that it would just affect our life, and pray that You would just mold us and shape us and the people You desire for us to be, and help us to reach the lost and to minister to those who need ministering to right here in our church. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.